everyone. Open to 2 Samuel chapter 16. The title of the talk is Endurance. 2 Samuel chapter 16. We walk on a path that requires endurance. But we'll start here just to introduce some concepts. 2 Samuel chapter 16. And it's the story of David, of course. David sinned, and as a result of that sin, his son rose up and he did dethrone him for a moment. And this is a time when David and his men have left Jerusalem. They decide to leave instead of standing and fighting. And just this little story here, as they are fleeing from Jerusalem, in verse 5, "And when King David came to Baharim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came." So this Shimei bloke decided he didn't like David, and he's here cursing King David. In verse 6, "And he cast stones at David and all the servants of the king of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man." Verse 9, "Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." So Abishai, of course, looking at the natural, and he's thinking, right, let's get rid of this bloke. You know, he's cursing the Lord's anointed. He's throwing stones at King David and his men. Abishai, in his zeal to protect King David, wants to kill him. Verse 10, "And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so?" David's an amazing man, as we all know. So in this instance, he had the power of life and death, but he could see that the Lord had sent Shimei to curse David. So therefore, why should anybody stand up against that? Verse 11, "And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him." So David could see that he was sent of the Lord. "It may be that the Lord will look upon mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went, and threw stones and cast dust. I mean, crazy, isn't it? So they're walking along and rocks. I mean, I'm sure we've been in situations where sometimes you feel like rocks are thrown at you. You feel like you're strung up and you've got rocks throwing at you for whatever it is. People saying things or doing things, but then also casting dust. So throwing dust at these people and the dust getting in eyes and also it's very uncomfortable. And of course, there's that natural reaction to bite back, to fight back. But David has the good attitude here. Let it be. Maybe it's of the Lord. Well, he knows it's of the Lord, but then he's got this faith that it may be that the Lord will look upon mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for this cursing. So somehow the Lord will turn this cursing around to be a good thing. So move over to chapter 19. So this is after the war, the civil war, where Absalom was defeated and David and his men are now coming back to Jerusalem. So 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 16, and Shimei, same bloke, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Baharim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. So he was pretty tough, wasn't he? He got 1,000 men to go with him. And Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. So obviously, well, Shimei at least is expressing his remorse. Verse 20, for thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai, same bloke, the son of Zeruiah answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And what was David's response? And David said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Therefore the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die, and the king sware unto him. So, it was a good thing, when we just look at the context of these two stories, it was a good thing that David didn't react to Shimei and take heed of Abishai's advice, because Shimei came abject before him, humbly asking to be forgiven for what he did. And so, in a way, David endured through that cursing and those rocks, that dust in his eyes, that shame, and the person who was doing that humbled himself and became King David's friend in a way. And David would have known that vengeance was of the Lord, not of him. So it says in Deuteronomy that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And so that's where we have this faith that when these things happen, vengeance is of the Lord. It's not of us. So we don't take it in our own hands, because then God gets the glory. Psalm 109. We just endure through that. Take the rocks on the chest. It's not an eye for an eye anymore. Psalm 109 and verse 21. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. So when the sun set, I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. I was only supposed to stop at 24. But yeah, the point I'm making here is sometimes when these things are happening, we seek the Lord, we get on our knees, and we fast. We're taught to fast before the Lord for deliverance. And I don't know about everyone else, but it's a bit hard going when I fast. And I do feel weak at the knees. And my flesh fails because of fatness. Serious about it. But just a day... It's just hard going. I do lose weight after fasting just for a day. And poor and needy, heart is wounded within me. Like these things, what's going on? There's confusion. Why is this happening? It doesn't make sense. You know, we're following the Lord. We're focused on him. We're relying on him. We know that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, yet the rocks still keep coming. We keep fasting. We keep seeking the Lord because we know it works. Second Chronicles chapter 20 verse 12 says, we have no might against this great company. Oh, sorry, I should introduce it. Yeah, so this is a verse about Jehoshaphat, how he cries unto the Lord, and he says, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. So sometimes we have, well, just about all the time we know not what to do, but our eyes are upon the Lord. You know, we know just to rely on the Lord and wait on the Lord to help us out. And so we can look above the situation. We can endure the situation knowing the Lord has it in hand because our eyes are upon him. Proverbs chapter 16. It's funny, I'm only an infant really in the Lord, but I'm sure those that have been through many trials, the Bible's quite a remarkable book. there are verses that just pop out in amongst a trial and just help you go through it. And I find that they're often different. The same verses don't normally apply for the different trials, but this is one verse that really helped me out in one of my trials a while ago. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Now, it's more the first half, always thinking, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. Now, wisdom is a great thing. It's a pearl of great price. Cannot be counted. And so we, as Spirit-filled people, we pray for wisdom to know how to handle a matter wisely. And often, you know, I've thought, that's all I want. I just want to handle this matter wisely. That's all I want. That's just our desire, is to be wise. And part of that is to be patient and know that if we endure, if we overcome, that is the wisdom and relying on the Lord. But the wonderful thing here is if we have this desire to handle a matter wisely, God promises that we shall find good. At the end of it, and in this instance, quite a few years ago, it was going through the trial, and it was, I think it's just over 2 years after that, the good came around. I didn't expect it the way it came. All I was trying to do was to handle this matter wisely, but that's our desire, is just to be wise, and then the promise is that we shall find good, which is wonderful. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So he's the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So there's an important point. God comforts us in our time of tribulation, that we then can comfort others that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of the God. So he clarifies it there. For as the sufferings of God abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And consolation really means something that lessens the grief. So this consolation that abounds in us by Christ is that thing that lessens the grief. And because of the scriptures we've just read, we can endure, we can look above it, we know God's promises, and so that consolation lessens the grief of the thing that we're going through. Verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So, of course, Paul here is talking about his own affliction, and it's for those in Corinth, their consolation and salvation, but we can also look at ourselves. Our own affliction can be for the consolation and salvation of others, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. For whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So I love that. It says at the start, when we're afflicted, it is for the consolation and salvation. And then he finishes the verse, when we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. It's just either way, the end is for consolation, to comfort those that are going in grief, to lessen their grief, and for salvation. Keep them focused on the thing that is important. And verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also of the consolation. So we have these trials, we're partakers of the suffering, but we're also part of that consolation. Because God is the Father of all comfort. And it comes from him. And we know, of course, over time, the wonderful things, like the great joy we have when people get that victory and just see the smile back on their face, the glow in their eyes when they've been through the trial, and then they in future can comfort others, knowing full well God will deliver if they just endure. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. So we can extend that. For whom the Lord loves, he tries to refine through allowing them to go into trials so that it becomes a pure gold refined in the fire, and scourgeth every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, there you go, if you endure it, if you just walk through it, let those rocks be thrown at you and just walk through it relying on the Lord. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? So we can. That's another thing we can be comforted with. We know we are his children. And as a consequence, he is our Father. And so he wants to deal with us as a father does his son. In verse 8, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So what a wonderful end. I remember, I think it was only once or twice I ever got in trouble by my mum and dad. I'm kidding. But the strangest thing, though, I mean, I remember a few times mum would chasten me and I'd be in my room, and then an hour or so later she'd come back and apologise. I know I did the wrong, you know, you're my mum. But she'd always say, afterwards, I just want you to become like a good man. Like that was the aim, was as a child, we're rough. We've got all these rough edges. We don't know anything really. Well, I still don't know anything. I'm wondering whether what she her aim was met. But anyway, this is what she told me. that was her noble aim was that she wanted to, this child, he didn't know anything, wanting to form a man that can leave home and live in the world. And, yeah, so I know, that's what I'm saying. But that's, anyway, this is what she told me, and I understand there are other factors that may have let it down, yeah. But the thing is, that's God. It says here, verse 10, so God chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So that's the end game. We are children that don't know anything really, and the Lord chastens us that we may be partakers of his holiness, that we may be adults spiritually to dwell in holiness, in the same thing that my mum was telling me. So that's the noble aim of it. Verse 11, Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So it goes through this thing here, and if you can imagine David, when he was chastened, had rocks thrown at him, dust cast into his eyes, and he was cursed, he was being chastened by the Lord. He knew Shimei was sent by the Lord, but he didn't lay back and squeal and cry and carry on and, throw a tantrum. He endured the chastening. And then verse 12 says, therefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So, yeah, okay, you've got this moment of grief, but get up. Get up. You've got to still get up, leave the house and follow the Lord and serve the Lord. You can't just lie around and wallow. You know, the Lord needs us here on earth to do his work. We've got meetings to go to. You pray as well, read the scriptures. You lift up the hands which hang down, those feeble knees, those knees that are feeble as a result of all the fasting. No matter how weak, you still just get up and endure. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, I pinched this from Pastor Simon on the weekend because there was half a verse that stood out at the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, charity or love suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So if we think about this, like we were explaining that charity is that love that comes from God. It's this heavenly love, the agape love. And you put it in the situation of a trial, it suffers long, vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly in this situation, like David, he didn't behave himself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked. See, Abishai was easily provoked, but David said, no, this is of the Lord, thinketh no evil. Again, Abishai thought of evil, David did not. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, knows that there will be an end, knows that the Lord will come through, and then endureth all things. So this love that comes from God, this love for our brethren, our love for those that aren't of the kingdom, this compassion that they know not, or this compassion that they have been sent by the Lord for his purposes, endures all things. And so when you have that love, that agape love from heaven, it endures all things. And so then you can endure the affliction and the rocks and the dust and the cursings and so forth because we've got the bigger picture. We're not of the dust anymore. We're of the Lord. Okay, thank you.